The fifth chapter of the second canto today, and this chapter is about the initial part of the chapter is about how Narad Muni is asking Brahmaji the questions related to the creation, and how Brahmaji explains. Because Sukadeva Goswami is telling that whatever I am going to speak is what has been already spoken by Lord Brahma to Narad Muni, and Lord Brahma heard from the Supreme Lord Himself. So he is basically just repeating in parampara. And that is what we are expected to do, repeat as it is. So this is a very interesting conversation between Narad Muni and Lord Brahma, and we will get a nice insight into that today. So we will begin with the first verse of this chapter.
Narada uvacha deva deva namaste stu bhuta bhavana purvaja tadvijjanihi yajnanam atma tatvani darshanam.
So Sri Narad Muni asked Brahmaji, O chief amongst the demigods, O firstborn living entity, I beg to offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please tell me that transcendental knowledge which specifically directs one to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul. So here Narad Muni is very humbly presenting himself, and he is very nicely asking, inquiring questions from Lord Brahma. So this is the way we also must ask, when we are dealing with, we are meeting each other and all, instead of talking about mundane things, we can discuss about spiritual matters that are of benefit and that direct us to the truth of the individual soul and the super soul, to devotional service. And also when we meet personalities, elevated personalities, we should not waste their time mundane questions asking about how do I invest my finances, or how do I invest my house, or how do I do this. Though they are very merciful, they will give us their guidance. But we must really inquire about that which is really important, which is how do we come out of this, and how do we serve the Lord with full love and affection. So here again Prabhupada also in the purport stresses about the perfection of the parampara system. So Narad Muni is a good disciple, perfect disciple, and Brahmaji is explain very nicely to him. And they are both doing it so that they can discuss about the Lord. They are not doing it to earn some money or for any material gain. Text 2.
Yadrupam yadadhishtanam yata shrishtam yidam prabho yat samstham yat param yatcha tat tatvam vada tatvataha.
My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? So he's asking very simple language. Please explain these particular symptoms. Where did it come from? How was it created? How is it conserved? And who controls everything? So we read the second paragraph. Prabhupada explains very nicely. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and the super soul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. In the phenomenal world, three things are factually observed by any intelligent man: the living beings, the manifest world, and the ultimate control over them. So we don't get lost in the material world. We are able to, an intelligent person is able to step out and think, hey, this world is there, and let me figure out, you know, how this works. I want to understand by asking transcendently to transcendentally elevated people. The intelligent man can see that neither the living entity nor the phenomenal world are creations of chance. The symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions suggests the plan of an intelligent brain behind them. And by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause with the help of one who knows them factually. Text 3.
Sarvam yetad bhavan veda bhuta bhavya bhavat prabhu karamalakavad vishvam vijnana vasitam tava.
My dear father, all this is known to you scientifically, because whatever was created in the past, whatever will be created in the future, or whatever is being created at present, as well as everything within the universe, is within your grip, just like a walnut. So he's telling, I'm asking you because you know everything. You know the past, present and future. You are the knower of all of these things. Everything is within your grip, just like a walnut. So he's saying, he's asking the right person. Because Brahmaji is like an engineer and he has combined all the elements with his mystic powers and he has created all these different universes. And Brahmaji is also, he's very intelligent. His body is made of intelligence. So he's the right person to ask. And there's like walnut in his palm means like he knows everything is in his control. So because Prabhupada writes down in the last four lines, he says the direct manufacturer of a particular thing is supposed to know how he learned the art of manufacturing, where he got the ingredients, how he set it up and how the products in the manufacturing process are being turned out. Because Brahma is the firstborn living entity, living being, naturally he's supposed to know everything about creative functions. But now see, Narada is very intelligent. So in the next verse you see how he's asking this next question. Yad vignano yad adharo yad parastvam yad atmakah eka shrijasi bhutani bhutairevatma mayaya. My dear father, what is the source of your knowledge? Under whose protection are you standing and under whom are you working? What is your real position? Do you alone create all entities with material elements by your personal energy? So now Narada Muni is very intelligent himself. And he also sees that his father is meditating. And then he asks him, basically he's going to ask him, who is your source? Because you are meditating means he's doing austerities, he's doing tapasya. So he's understanding that, hey, somewhere this is all coming from. So let's read the purport. It was known to Sri Narada Muni that Lord Brahma attained creative energy by undergoing severe austerities. As such, he could understand that there was someone else superior to Brahmaji who invested Brahma with the power of creation. Therefore, he asked all the above questions. Discoveries of progressive scientific achievements are therefore not independent. The scientist has to attain the knowledge of a thing already existing by means of the wonderful brain made by someone else. A scientist can work with the help of such an awarded brain, but it is not possible for the scientist to create his own or a similar brain. Therefore, no one is independent in the matter of any creation, nor is such creation automatic. So the ingredients of the creation, the intelligence and the creative energy, everything was supplied to Lord Brahma. And Narada Muni could see that Brahmaji is going, he's attained all this creative energy by performing austerity. So then he's going to ask, so who are you? Who is your source? What is your source? Where are you getting the energy from? Text 5. Atman bhava bhavayase tani na para bhavayan svayam atma shaktim avashtabhya urnana bhiri vaklama. As a spider very easily creates the network of its cobweb and manifests its power of creation without being defeated by others, so also you yourself, by employment of your self-sufficient energy, create without any other's help. So here he is comparing the position of Brahma to the self-sufficiency of the spider who creates its own field of activities without any other's help by employment of its own energetic creation of saliva. But again, he's getting all that energy and creativity and those materials from somewhere. Text 6. And see, you'll also see that how Brahma answers this question. Now, suppose someone asks you, where are you getting all your energy from? And then, you know, a lot of materialists just go on to say, hey, I'm intelligent and I can do it and I did it and, you know, I'm good at it. But here, Brahmaji is very truthful and very intelligent. He's not an atheist. He recognizes that I can't take credit for this. There is a Lord because of whom I'm able to do all of these things. Text 6. Naham veda param yasmin na param na samam vibho nama rupa gunair bhavyam sada satkinchid anyataha. Whatever we can understand by the nomenclature, characteristics and features of a particular thing, superior, inferior or equal, eternal or temporary, is not created from any source other than that of your Lordship, thou so great. So he's saying that all the creation, everything we can understand by nomenclature, characteristics and features, I know it has been created by you. Text 7. is where he gives the punch.
Sa bhavana charat ghoram yattapa susamahita tena kheda yasenastvam parashankam yachcha yachasi.
Yet we are moved to wonder about the existence of someone more powerful than you when we think of your great austerities and perfect discipline, although your good self is so powerful in the matter of creation. So it's very clearly asking, I know everything has been created by you, but then when I see all your great austerities and perfect discipline, then I'm wondering, you know, that who is that person who is more powerful than you? Although you yourself are so powerfully creating everything. So, I start wondering about that. And we'll see how Brahmaji will answer his question. And also we learn how we can ask questions to a spiritual master, but not in a challenging way. So here, Narad Muni has a question, he has a doubt, and he is putting forward to Brahmaji, but he's not asking in a challenging way. He's in a very submissive way. He's not doubting. He's asking in a very submissive way, just to seek to understand, not seek to challenge. Text 8.
Etanme prichata sarvam sarvagya sakaleshwara vijanihi yathai vedam aham buddhyenu shashitaha.
My dear father, you know everything and you're the controller of all. Therefore, may all that I have inquired from you be kindly instructed to me, so that I may be able to understand it as your student. The inquiries made by Brahma, by Narad Muni, are very important for everyone concerned. And as such, Narada requested Brahmaji to deem them suitable, so that all others who may come in the line of disciplic succession of the Brahma Sampradaya may also know them properly without any difficulty. So he is asking, so then, for everyone's benefit. Like that. So now we see how beautifully Brahmaji asks. He's not offended. Hey, how can you ask me? What are you trying to say? You're trying to say there's someone greater than me? You're just a child. You're just my son. How can you ask me this question? He's not offended. Because he's properly situated in his identity as spirit soul servant of Krishna. So he answers very nicely.
Brahma vacha samyak karuni keshyedam vatsate vichikichitam yat aham chodita samya bhagavad virya darshane.
Lord Brahma said, my dear boy Narada, being merciful to all including me, you have asked all these questions because I have been inspired to see into the promise of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So it's very first, he immediately talks about the Lord. Does not say, oh yeah, I did it, but you know, yeah, I know Krishna gave me some little bit of, you know, he gave me some tips and all, but you know, actually I did it, but you know, no, but little bit Krishna, I got little bit help. But here he's immediately talking that I'm completely inspired by the process of the Almighty Personality of Godhead. So it says, Brahmaji, so for those who just joined, we are reading from the purport of text 9 of the 5th chapter of the 2nd canto. So, Brahmaji, being so questioned by Naradaji, congratulated him, for it is usual for the devotees to become very enthusiastic when they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. So he's not even thinking, oh, my credit is going away. That doesn't matter, really. He doesn't even think of those things. In fact, he's very happy that Narada is asking this question and he will again get to speak about his worshipable Lord Sri Krishna. So they become enthusiastic whenever they are questioned concerning the Almighty Personality of Godhead. That is the sign of a pure devotee of the Lord. Such discourses on the transcendental activities of the Lord purify the atmosphere in which discussions are held, and the devotees thus become enlivened while answering such questions. It is purifying both for the questioners and for one who answers the questions. The pure devotees are not only satisfied by knowing everything about the Lord, but are also eager to broadcast the information to others, for they want to see that the glories of the Lord are known to everyone. Thus the devotee feels satisfied when such an opportunity is offered to him. This is the basic principle of missionary activities. So, but see, this concern is only not there. Who did the creation, whether I'm getting credit or not. He's just so happy. He's getting a chance to speak about the Lord. Text 10. A few more things. He's telling that samyak is what he's asking is perfect. In the word, if you look at the Sanskrit in the translation. And then Vatsa, he says, is my dear boy. And Vatsa also means calf. And the Brahmanas have a lot of affection like that. And he's also including, he's speaking like that, also in a way, where he's kind of indicating to Narad Muni that he's a little amused also, Brahmaji. He's saying, hey, you know everything, but you're still asking me. And actually, you're very merciful to me. You're giving me a chance to speak about the Lord. So I'm very grateful to you. Like that. Text 10. Nanritam tava tachapi yatha mam prabha vrishibho avignaya param matta etavattvam yatohime. Whatever you have spoken about me is not false, because unless and until one is aware of the personality of Godhead, who is the ultimate truth beyond me, one is sure to be illusioned by observing my powerful activities. So he's telling, what you have spoken is not false, and unless someone understands who the Supreme Lord, Lord Shri Krishna is, then who is the ultimate truth beyond me, if they don't know that, then they will be bewildered by just seeing my activities. But actually, whatever I have is coming from Krishna himself. So Brahmaji is very humble. And he's agreeing with Narada that people who don't know the truth, then they think about me like this. So, see, that's another reason we read about the creation of the Lord. Once you understand his potencies and how great he is, and how everything is under his control, and how even Brahmaji is getting his energy from the Lord, creative energy and impact, everything, then we will not take some other, some upstarts who say that I am an incarnation of God to be God himself. Because we will know that if you are God, then you should be able to do all of these activities. And we will not just be mesmerized by some materialist heroes, of the films or of, from politics or from society. Because we will understand whatever they are able to do, they are getting all their energy from the Lord himself. So undoubtedly we respect them because, they are representing the energy of the Lord in some way. They that's how they are able to do anything. But at the same time, we will not be unduly impressed. We will know that this person cannot be God. We will not have that false worship of film heroes or political heroes or some spiritual people who say they are God. Like that. Text 11. And very beautiful what Brahmaji speaks right now. And he says, Yena swarochisha vishvam rochitam rochayamyaham yatharkognir yatha somo yathaksha grahatarakah. I create after the Lord's creation by his personal effulgence known as the Brahma Jyoti, just as when the sun manifests its fire, the moon, the firmament, the influential planets and the twinkling stars also manifest their brightness. So he's saying, I create after the Lord, just like all of these different are also reflecting the energy of the Lord. So he's also talking here, energy of sun. Yeah. So one very important point is this swarochisha, this particular word that is being used about the Lord's own effulgence, which is the Brahma Jyoti. And Prabhupada explains very nicely this purport. So one very important point that Prabhupada mentions is, Narad wanted to clear the matter, the third line, by the statements of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe. As the decision of the Supreme Court of a state is final, similarly, the judgment of Brahmaji, the supreme authority in the universe, is final in the Vedic process of acquiring knowledge. As we have already affirmed in the previous verse, Naradaji was liberated soul. Therefore, he was not one of the less intelligent men who accept a false god or gods in their own ways. He represented himself as less intelligent and yet intelligently presented a doubt to be cleared by the supreme authority, so that the uninformed might take note of it and be rightly informed about the intricacies of the creation and the creator. And then Brahmaji is clarifying the wrong impression that other people have. He's like, no, I'm just creating after the Lord. Everything is happening by the Lord's Brahma Jyoti. So the creation is sustained by the Lord's Brahma Jyoti, and the creation is made possible by the Brahma Jyoti. It carries the seeds, it's sustained. by the Brahma Jyoti. So Prabhupada explains all of these things in the purport. If you go down towards the second last paragraph in the middle, so the Brahma Jyoti is not independent or self-sufficient. Lord Shri Krishna is ultimately the creator of the Brahma Jyoti. So Brahma Jyoti has been created by the Lord, mentioned in this verse as Swarochisha, or the effulgence of the transcendental body of the Lord. This Brahma Jyoti is all-pervading and all creation is made possible by its power. Therefore, the Vedic hymns declare that everything that exists is being sustained by the Brahma Jyoti. Sarvam Kalam Idam Brahma. So, Brahma Jyoti is all-pervading, all creation is made possible by its power, and everything is sustained by the Lord's Brahma Jyoti. Just like the sun sustains all life, right? The sun is the cause of all illumination, fire, electricity, rays of the moon, etc. So the sun is also the creation of the Brahma Jyoti, and the Brahma Jyoti is coming from the Lord himself. So the Brahma Jyoti is all pervading. All creation is possible by its power, just like the example of the sun and everything we just talked about. And it is all sustained by the Brahma Jyoti also. And then there is a nice explanation given about the banyan tree in the second paragraph. Prabhupada explains, one should not expect the Lord to create like a blacksmith with a hammer and other instruments. The Lord creates by His potencies. He has His multifarious potencies. Parasya Saktir Vividhai Vasruyate. Just as the small seed of a banyan fruit has the potency to create a big banyan tree, the Lord disseminates all varieties of seeds by His potent Brahma Jyoti, Swarochisha, and the seeds are made to develop by the watering process of persons like Brahma. Brahma cannot create the seeds, but He can manifest the seed into a tree, just as a gardener helps plants and orchards to grow by the watering process. But even how to do that, has all that guidance has also been given to Brahma by the Lord Himself. Like that. So this entire section is basically establishing that there is someone which is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the Supreme Creator, Proprietor, Controller, Sustainer of all creation that we see. And Lord Brahma, also we learn about the humility of Lord Brahma, how he is so much in service to the Lord and how he is so properly situated. And then we learn from about Naradji also, how he is inquiring very submissively to his spiritual master and father, like that. A lot of lessons in one small particular section. We'll read further. Text 12. Tasmai namo bhagavate vasudevaya dhimahi yanmayaya durjaya mam vadanti jagadgurum. I offer my obeisances and meditate upon Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead, whose invincible potency influences them, the less intelligent class of men, to call me the Supreme Controller. So in text 12, basically, because we are so covered by this material energy of the Lord, because we want to enjoy separately from Krishna, then the only way we can do that is to forget Him. And because we are covered by this energy of the Lord, so that we can easily forget Him, so that we can achieve our purpose, then we falsely think we are the doers. That I am running the show in the house. I am the one who wears the pants. I am the one who does this. I am the one who does that. I am the one who made this beautiful dish. Or I am the one who made my house so beautiful. I am the one who did this. I am the one who did that. So, because we want to enjoy like that, thinking we are the controllers, we are Krishna, like that. But Lord Brahma is not bewildered. And why he is not bewildered? Because he is an unalloyed devotee of the Lord. But so if we become an unalloyed devotee of the Lord, then Maya Devi will act in a different way. It will help us understand Krishna, understand ourselves, and help us go closer to Krishna. But if we continue thinking ourselves to be the doer, we don't want to worship Krishna, we don't want to go offer ourselves as servants to the Lord, then the Maya Devi will act in a different way. It will continuously bewilder us so that we can achieve whatever purpose we want. Like that. So here Brahmaji is not bewildered and he is not taking any credit. And he is telling those people who think I am the controller are actually bewildered. And those people who also think they are the controllers are also bewildered. So we have to learn this from Brahmaji, that we should not take credit for things. And we should understand that only through the mercy of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, all the acharyas and all the devotees around us, whatever we are able to do is only by their potency. Like that. So, it is said, a responsible personality, last four lines of the purport, refuses to accept himself, refuses to be addressed as a Supreme Lord by his disciples or subordinates. But foolish persons, praised by men of the nature of dogs, hogs, camels and asses, feel flattered to be addressed as a Supreme Lord. Why such persons take pleasure in being addressed as God, or why such persons are addressed as God by foolish admirers, is explained in the following verse. Text 13, this is a very, very moving and very beautiful verse. It's very, very beautiful. It really inspired me when I read it the first time. Vilajjamanaya yasya sthatum iksha pathemuya vimohita vikathante mamaham iti durdhiya. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So we'll just read this translation again. The illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position. But those who are bewildered by her always talk nonsense, being absorbed in thoughts of it is I and it is mine. So we'll read the purport. Garima, would you like to read the purport for this verse for all of us? Text 13, 5th chapter, 2nd canto.
Sure. The invincibly powerful deluding energy of the personality of Godhead, or the third energy, representing me signs, can bewilder the entire world of animation, but still she is not strong enough to be able to stand in front of the Supreme Lord. Nisayan is behind the personality of Godhead, where she is powerful enough to mislead the living being, and the primary symptom of the bewildered person is that they talk nonsense. Nonsensical talks are not supported by the principles of Vedic literature, and the first great nonsense talk is, it is I, it is mine. A godless civilization is exclusively conducted by such false ideas, and such persons, without any factual realization of God, accept a false God or falsely declare themselves to be the God. To mislead persons who are already bewildered by the deluding energy. Those who are before the Lord, however, and who surrender unto Him, cannot be influenced by the deluding energy. Therefore, they are free from the misconception of, it is I, it is mine. And therefore, they do not accept the false God or pose themselves as equal to the Supreme Lord. Identification of bewildered person is distinctively given in this verse.
So, when it says that the illusory energy of the Lord cannot take precedence, being ashamed of her position, it means that she is not as powerful as the Lord. She knows she is a servant of the Lord and she is getting blessed with whatever energy she has by the Lord, and she is engaged in the service given to her by the Lord. She is fully aware of that. But people like us who get bewildered by Durga Devi, we don't realize this thing, and we all get very bewildered, and we think we are, because we are under the effects of Maya, because we want to be separately enjoyed, we start thinking we are very powerful. And then because we think it's everything about me, then we keep talking about ourselves and our children and we try to do everything for their benefit. We are not able to think in terms like Vasudeva Kutum. Like, you know, it's not just me and myself, but it's also my neighbors and my society. I need to be fair and loving and, you know, I need to take care of everyone. But we get lost in our selfish motivations, right? So, Durga Devi, Maya Devi, the third energy, can bewilder the entire world. But still, she is under the control of the Lord. And it's only, so as he said, nescience is behind the personality of Godhead. So when you're behind Krishna's back, then you're in Maya, you're in the shadow of Krishna. And then you can be misled Because you want to be misled. You don't want to go and stand in front of the Lord. And then we do all this nonsensical talk. It's all about you. It's all about what you feel. It's all about what you do. It's all about you and your movie. And, you know, everyone becomes the hero or the heroine of their own film. But this is all false ideas. We are conducted by false ideas. And we accept false gods. And we accept, you know, mundane psychology or mundane, you know, mundane wisdom as the word of God, which, you know. So all these things. But those who stand in front of the Lord, they surrender to the Lord. And the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivi hesha gunamai mama maya duratyaya mame vaye prapadyante maya metam tarantite, that this deluding energy of mine is very difficult to overcome. But one who has surrendered unto me can easily cross this ocean of nescience. So if we are standing behind the Lord, very difficult. But we are standing in front and we are surrendering to Him, then we cannot be influenced, because the Lord will protect us. And we will become, the more we realize who we really are, that I am eternal servant, part and parcel of Krishna, the more we will be disconnected from the false identity and more fully connected to a real identity of eternal servant, part and parcel of Krishna. And the more we are connected to that, the lesser we will talk about I and mine. And so, we will not accept any false gods, or neither we will be posing ourselves as equal to the Supreme Lord. Like that. Text 14. And here,
Babaji, I have a question.
Yes.
Why is Mayadevi called the third energy?
Why is Mayadevi called the third energy? The invisible...
The first line of the purport. The invincibly powerful deluding energy of the god, or the third energy.
Actually, I'm not clear on that. Gunarupini, do you know?
No, Marcus.
I'll have to look this up. What are the... I think the three energies of the Lord are Samvit, Sandhini and Ladini. I'm confused there. Can I check and let you know? I'm not able to connect with this point. But good question. I will get back to you. I'm just opening one. 13. Just give me 1 minute.
Is it one of those that Radha is the Ladini Shakti? That's one of the Shakti. That's the one?
Yeah. But I'll have to check. Anything else I will be speaking is... speculation. Yeah, it is called the third... Maybe it... Again, I'm speculating, but I will verify properly and say it. Because we have the spiritual energy, the material energy, and the marginal energy. So, we are the marginal energy, the living entity. The spiritual energy of the Lord is the spiritual energy. And then the material energy. So maybe it is, that's why I call the third energy. But exactly why it is called, I will have to check and get back to you. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Yep. All right. Thank you. Thank you for asking. Nice question. Text 14. Dravyam karma cha kalascha svabhavo jiva eva cha vasudevat paro brahman na chanyortha sti tatpataha. The five elementary ingredients of creation, the interaction thereof set up by eternal time, and the intuition or nature of the individual living beings are all differentiated parts and parcels of the personality of Godhead Vasudev. And in truth, there is no other value in them. So what basically he is telling, this Prabhupada is telling in the last line of the purport, identification of the bewildered person is distinctly given in this verse. And then in the next verse, Brahmaji is giving about what can free us, what knowledge can free us from this illusory perception of I and mine that we have. Right? And so Lord Brahma continues explaining that this, the five elementary ingredients of creation, which is earth, water, fire, air and ether, and then the interactions of them, right, creates all these different representations in matter. And then those are all set up by time. They get set into motion by time. And then this living entity is material sense of identity, right? Which is this false ego that we have. The intuition or nature of the individual living entities are all big or all like that. So when we have this, they are all part of Lord Narayana's external energy, which is a material energy, which is the third energy of the Lord. So all this is there in this false ego, the five elements, etc. This is all part of the external energy of the Lord. And they have no value if they are perceived as separate from Him. So everything that you see, as explained in Bhagavad Gita 7th chapter 4th and 5th verse, everything that you see is part and parcel of the Lord. It's a combination of matter and spirit, both of which are the Lord's energy. And so nothing is separate from the Lord. So when we understand nothing is separate from the Lord, we understand we are also not separate from the Lord. So then we don't want to have this separate identity from the Lord of I and mine. Right? Then when we understand we are not separate from the Lord, then we are the real identity of I and mine, which is I am Krishna's servant, and the relationship that I have with Krishna is mine. We don't say Krishna is mine, we say my relationship with Krishna is mine. So we still have this I and mine, but in a pure spiritual way. We don't have this separate sense of I and mine when we understand these things properly. Right, I'll end for discussion here because I think we read a lot of verses today very fast.